Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
And Rob, I made up a ditty, a little ditty just for you. When I pledged my noble clan, Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, we used to sing a song, and I did a remix just for you.
And we go a little something like this. Hit it.
I got a feeling, brothers, I got a feeling somebody lost some shekels falling out of them pockets. Rob Parker, it was so quiet in your apartment Sunday night that all the way across the country in New Jersey, I could hear a mouse urinating. No. He was taking a whiz on a one-way ticket courtesy of Tom Brady to Mexico that he bought you 2 years ago that you never used.
I think I'm moving to Mexico.
Next time you defy him, use it. And I saw your column, deadspin.com. You know, back in the day, we would have said it was fish rap. But I want you to explain yourself, because you still said you refused to give Tom Brady his propers, and you still insisted on calling him the LOAT. So explain yourself, please.
Tom Brady didn't win the damn game, Chris Broussard. Drew Brees lost it. The best pass that Drew Brees threw last Sunday night was to Drew Brees' son. That was the best pass he threw all night. Tom Brady didn't even break 200 yards. There were three passes that could have easily been intercepted that weren't. Tom Brady, again, under 55% completion. I could go to last three playoff games. And once again, he is lucky, because Drew Brees and the Saints gift-wrapped this game to Tom Brady. Four turnovers at home? Are you kidding me? And Drew Brees gave Tom Brady a short field. You guys and your Tom Brady minions, if you want to celebrate and talk about Tom Brady, it wasn't about Tom Brady. The defense put him in position. Tom Brady was Brad Johnson last night. He wasn't spectacular. He didn't win the game. It was about the defense and about the miscues and the poor play by Drew Brees once again. Go to NBC already. Can I send a car for you? I don't want to see you on the NFL field again unless you're holding a microphone. No more. With that damn noodle arm. I almost kicked my TV set in.
You probably did, actually.
Almost. But I don't want to buy a new one. I did. I almost did, though. I almost. I'm not even
lying. I believe it. Had we been in a wing spot during normal times watching this game, I'm sure you would have left like you did 2 years ago against Kansas City.
No, I had a bad stomach. That's all. I had gas. I had to get out of there.
All right, Rob. Look, you're a veteran. I'll give you that. You're a vet. So you use the vet's move, you know, an old man move, as they call it on the playgrounds, in your column. You try to make it black and white. Oh, you're going to hear all the minions say that Tom Brady was amazing, that Tom Brady was awesome, he's the GOAT. You tried to make it black and white, and you just did it again. Tom Brady didn't win it. Actually, he did.
He
because
did
they're moving on. He won the game. They're moving on to play your Packers next week. And that's a whole nother story we'll be getting to later in the week.
Yeah, but is Aaron Rodgers still feeling the pressure?
I'm not going to sit here and say Tom Brady was fantastic. I'm not going to sit here and say Tom Brady put the Buccaneers on his back. But I refuse to sit here and let you act like he didn't play well. He played well. Here's the deal. Lucky. Was he lucky that his top three receivers were injured? Mike Evans playing through a knee injury. Chris Godwin playing through a quad injury. And Antonio Brown gets injured in the game. Was he lucky that his best running back, Ronald Jones, was playing with a sore quad? Was he lucky that his starting offensive guard, Alex Kappa, was out? And then the guy, Earl Watford, they signed to replace Kappa, was out too. Is that luck? He takes all those negatives, goes into the Superdome, where the Saints had only lost twice all year, and puts 30 points on one of the best defenses in the league.
Chris, he didn't put it on that defense. He put that on because Drew Brees set him up with short field. You can't blame the defense.
So what?
You can't.
He did it. You still didn't give him the points. You still got to produce.
18 for 33 is with less than 200 yards. He was bad.
Three touchdowns, no interceptions. How about that?
He had two touchdown passes.
And one he ran for.
And the other part is Drew Brees
one,
was just. What,
did you hear that? One he ran
and
for.
And Drew
so that's
Brees
three.
Was just
two plus
worse.
One equals three.
He was 19.
Oh, Drew Brees was horrible.
He was 19 for 34. He completed actually more passes than Tom Brady. And you just said he was awful. He completed more passes than Tom Brady.
Yeah, but he threw three picks. You're going to compare a guy that threw three picks to a guy that scored three touchdowns?
But the point is that Drew Brees lost the game. That's what handed Tom Brady the victory. When Tom Brady had to drive the field by himself, he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it.
Rob Parker, this is football. What do you and I always say? We've been talking about Deshaun Watson. Football's different than basketball. It's a team sport. So is basketball, but this is even more so a team sport. And yes, the running backs, the running game, props to Leonard Fournette. Props to Ronald Jones playing through the injury and running hard. That the defense, you know, that was my main concern, and them boys stepped up. Props to the offensive line for protecting Brady. Yes. But Rob Parker, you have sat here on this show for 2.5 years, and you have talked about there's no such thing as intangibles. There's no such thing as being leadership, inspiration, guidance, providing confidence, being a leader of men. That's what Tom Brady has done.
No,
this franchise was woebegone.
Please,
this
Chris,
franchise
did you
was
see
horrible.
Did you see Jameis Winston? Did you see him in the game?
Been in the playoffs in a dozen years. You said it yourself. This franchise was 7-9 last year. As soon as he stepped into the locker room, in fact, as soon as he put his name on the dotted line, those brothers started believing.
That
the
ain't
defense
have nothing
got
to do
spirit.
With it.
The running backs
please.
Got spirit.
Oh, would you
the
stop?
Receivers started
no, we're not
thinking
trying
big.
To hear a sermon.
And
I don't want to hear all that.
That's what he's
that's
done.
That's what it is.
From
you know what you
one.
Do? You do it all the time. You go into some damn sermon. You know why? Because he don't have the numbers. So you got to be inspirational. You
got to
come up with something
NFL
that's
history.
Not tangible.
He's you second got in yards.
No.
What do
you
mean
gotta come
he
up with something
the numbers?
Else. You ain't come up because you don't have those numbers to be able to back it. So you got to make up.
How about more touchdowns? More touchdowns than any player in history. Is that a number?
They started to believe.
Answer that.
Winston throw
answer
that ball.
That.
He could have done the same exact thing for
more,
him if they would have given him another year.
Yeah, he threw 30 picks last year. Stop it. More touchdowns than any quarterback in NFL history. Is that a number for you?
He's played 20 years. What do
so
you want? 20,
what?
What does
give
that mean?
Give him props for the longevity.
Well, we'll see. I'll wait to find out how real that longevity is.
We will see.
Right
we will see.
We
but
sure
but
will.
Rob Parker, Inspiration, man. He's done it his whole. He is a leader. The best quarterbacks have the intangibles.
Just like when they robbed the Raiders.
He's not the best passer of the football we've ever seen. He's certainly not the most mobile quarterback we've ever seen. But intelligence, football IQ, poise, leadership, rallying the team, making them play better. He's done it since day one. That team was 5-13 under Belichick with a Pro Bowl quarterback in Drew Bledsoe. He steps in. They win 11 games that season and the Super Bowl. And
Chris,
it was a dynasty ever since. And now Belichick,
was doing the same thing you and I were doing Sunday. No, absolutely not.
From the couch.
No, but the thing you never want to bring up is all the help and all the luck. It was almost 19 years ago Tom Brady was bailed out against the Raiders when he fumbled the football. It was a rule. They changed the rule after that. Seattle bailed him out. Atlanta bailed him out. The last time he was in the Super Bowl, he had no touchdowns in the fumble.
Your narrative is tired.
And it's always the same thing.
You've been saying the same stuff since 2012.
Brady is lucky.
Three Super Bowls.
He is so lucky. He is not the GOAT. And once again, we saw how Tom Brady, his path to the Super Bowl, here it is. He plays a quarterback named Heineken. I don't know what his name was. It was like a drunk beer out there.
Breeze.
No, I'm talking about against Washington. And then he plays a washed-up Drew Brees who gives him three interceptions to set up three scores.
How about giving the defense some credit?
Unbelievable.
You don't give the defense any credit?
Brady won the game.
They made him. I never even said that. Those words never even came out of my mouth.
Brady won the game. That's what we got to
hear. He won because he's going on to Green Bay. What are you talking about? That's a fact. That is a fact. You can come up with your little nuances to keep your narrative that you've been kicking the last 9 years for, but it ain't true. A fact is Tom Brady, Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette, Mike Evans et al. Won the game.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm gonna let it breathe.
Rock.
Damn it's right. Our man, the Super Bowl champion, Hall of Fame defensive back, Rod Woodson. Rod, how are you, brother?
I'm doing good, my brothers from another mother. What's going on there?
What's happening?
We are good, man. Well, let's start with one of your former teams, the Ravens. Obviously, they went down to Buffalo. And, you know, people are now once again questioning Lamar Jackson. Are those questions warranted, or are people making too much out of just a playoff loss?
I don't think they're warranted. You know, I think, you know, Lamar got his a playoff victory. I thought that, you know, obviously the offense itself is a running first offense. They have to be able to establish a running game to set up their passing attack. And if, you know, obviously, you know, you look at Dobbins, as he definitely came on, you know, late in the year. But if you look at their receiving core outside of their tight ends, you look at their receiving core, who do they have?
Right.
You know, so give him some weapons on the outside. Give him some more receivers. You know we know they got a running game. We know their defense has played solid football the last couple of years. It doesn't really matter who the defense coordinator is. They seem like they always have good defenses, right? So I just really believe that it's blown out of proportion because we want him as a young quarterback to play the best football like he's a 5-year, 6-year vet, and he hasn't. And I think we know it's a run-first offense. I think they need more skill position players to help him and so they can win those one-on-one matchups.
I'd like to see him. You saw what Stephon Diggs did for Josh Allen, what DeAndre Hopkins did for Kyler Murray. I'd like to see him with an elite receiver.
Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about. I think they need to find that guy for him. And, you know, we know they put a lot of stock in their running attack. They have over the last couple of years. But I think now they need to put stock into the receiving core. You know, they got some solid tight ends. They got to find a player on the outside that can win those one-on-one matchups. So they can't always stack the box. And if you stack the box, then obviously he's shown you that he can throw deep balls, he can throw fades, he can throw those type of balls on a consistent basis. So try to help him out on the outside.
Hey, Rod, what did you make of – there were some people thought the Rams matched up, you know, the number one defense against the Packers, and the Packers almost put up 500 yards on them, ran the ball, threw the ball. What did you make of the Packers and Aaron Rodgers' performance against the Rams?
Shoot. It'll tell you how good Aaron Rodgers is. that's what it tells you. I mean, that dude's – I mean, he's a player. And Davante Adams, he's a player, you know, and – you know, I know Jalen Ramsey had an outstanding year, and they have the best defensive player in the National Football League playing on their D-line. But when you play against a quarterback that is generational like Aaron Rodgers, and he's very comfortable, and they're, you know, you have a Davante Adams who just – he's a difference maker. And the way they play, you know, this past week, it showed you how good they were. And, you know, I just think – you know, obviously the offense didn't help them at all, and it was relied just really on their defense. You know, and their defense is, you know, that game, you know, the Green Bay Packer offense was better. And we know that they played extremely well, and they played so well throughout the year that the defense coordinator got a head coaching job.
Right.
So yeah. Oh, yeah. We knew how good they were. But they just got outplayed against a really good offense versus a quarterback that's obviously going to be in the Hall of Fame when he retires 5 years later. And there's nothing to be ashamed of that. Now, for them, they need to figure out what their offense is going to look like.
Right.
You know, is it going to be Goff? Who's going to be their quarterback? What's the system going to look like
right. From
starting next year?
Well, let me speaking of quarterbacks going to the Hall of Fame, which Drew Brees is, how surprised how poorly he played last night and probably his last game. Three interceptions, just his arm didn't look strong. You know, we've talked about this over the last couple of years. I think he's lost his last three home playoff games or whatever. What did you make of Drew Brees' performance?
Well, I mean, you know, Todd Bowles has really brought that Tampa 2 defense back, right? I mean, even though they played some tight man-to-man defense, but they, you know, they did get an interception on the one when they were playing man-to-man. You know, they got the other interception off of cover two. He brought that style back. And, you know, playing in that tight man-to-man, and you got to think about it, Thomas didn't have a catch. He had four targets. He couldn't get off of man-to-man. I mean, they just played tight man-to-man, and they switched up blitzing a little bit more than you normally would see with Todd Bowles. And then they played those zones, and it gave Drew a lot of different looks that he was uncomfortable with. They got a lot of pressure from the inside. And when you know you have a quarterback that's not a mobile quarterback, that's where you want to get your pressure from. And he was uncomfortable. And, you know, so you give all the credit to Todd Bowles and that game plan that he had for Drew Brees, because he understood what they did the previous two games, and he combated that, and obviously they weren't ready for what Todd Bowles did to him in that game.
Rod Woodson, Hall of Fame defensive back, joining the Odd Couple. I got to ask you this, Rod, like, because their defensive backfield to me had looked bad for more than a month. And I was really worried about them going into this game. How did they kind of, it seemed like flip a switch, and all of a sudden they were playing great. Yeah, it looked like a different defensive backfield.
I mean, they played good football. I mean, you know, K Rock, who's one of the defensive back coaches, you know, this probably challenged him. I would believe that Todd Bowles challenged his guy, saying, "Listen, we know that Thomas is a player, but he's not a speed guy, so he's not going to run away from you. So I'm challenging all you guys to challenge yourself on every single down." And they did that. I mean, they challenged these guys on every single down when they were playing man to man. It didn't matter if they were a reduced split. It didn't matter if they were wide split. If they were in man-to-man, they were pressing these guys. And then they showed some press, and they bailed out, and then they put some cover two behind it. And then they got pressure with their front four. And when you do that stuff to quarterbacks, you give them a lot of different looks, it gives them some issues at times, even though you're playing against a Hall of Fame quarterback in Drew Brees. It gives them a different look, and I think that was a great game plan that they did. And those guys stepped up to the challenge, and you have to give all the credit to that coaching staff.
Have you had concussions? I'm assuming you've had a couple in your career. Have you?
Oh yeah, I've had quite a few, more than a couple.
Okay, yeah. I'm figuring
you probably played through a lot.
If you played football, right?
Back in the day.
Different now, Chris. Right? Like now, back then you got back in the game. They gave you some smelling salt, and put you back in there. But Patrick Mahomes, once he went down, did you think there was a chance Cleveland could pull that out? And what about the last call by Andy Reid, which I thought was a dumb call and dangerous?
Hey, that takes some kahunas, man.
Right?
That takes some kahunas. I mean, just listen, nobody in the whole universe who watches NFL football thought that they were going to throw the football. Nobody did.
You thought they were just trying to draw
but wait
off
a minute.
Sides,
yeah.
Right?
You know who said it? It was
Romo
on CBS.
Was saying it.
Romo said, look at their body language. They don't have a play. They're just going to try to draw. Like that's what he said, and everybody was stunned. I was totally stunned.
I mean, it really was because, you know, you look at the odds, and you got a quarterback who's only threw a couple passes in the playoffs in his history, in his career, and Henny did a great job. He threw the ball on the money. It was a really good design. It was a really simple play, and it's kind of a extended run because it's not a real long pass. But it caught everybody off guard. I mean, Romo said it. Nobody thought of it. I mean, when it happened, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
That's what I thought.
That is a tough, great call by Andy Reid. But that tells you how much confidence he has in all his playmakers across the board, including his backup quarterback. And Henny saying that he can make that type of throw. Because Henny does have a strong arm now. Henny has a strong arm. He showed that he can throw all kind of balls in his career. And
can they win that game with Henny if he has to play? Can they win that game, the AFC Championship?
That will be – I think that's going to be a tough task because I think the Buffalo Bills are playing really good football. I think they need all their weapons. They really need Mahomes. And, you know, honestly, listen to Andy Reid. Andy Reid already said that – Mahomes, he wanted to come back in the game. But since you have an independent neurologist sitting there, they're saying, no, you're in a concussion protocol. You cannot go back in the game. We're trying to help you down the road. So I would think, with all that said and done, I would think that it would take – I mean, he would really, really have to be bad for Patrick Mahomes not to play in that championship game.
Rod, with Cleveland, obviously they looked pretty good. Even, you know, they were, I think it was double-digit deficit when Mahomes went out. But next year, does OBJ just fit in seamlessly, or does he have to kind of adjust his attitude to come back in that team?
Well, let me say this. Just because they won this year doesn't mean they're going to win next year. That's for any team in the National Football League. You know,
it's a year-by-year league.
Right. Just because you won a certain way last year or this year doesn't mean you're going to win that same way next year. Everybody's going to game plan for you a certain way. Everything's going to be a little bit tougher because they know how good you are now. So now you're going to face better game planning, so to speak. You're going to face teams' better efforts, so to speak, because everybody was thinking the Cleveland Browns are the Cleveland Browns. You know, they're the Brownies, but they're really not. They're a solid football team. So everybody's on notice. But OBJ is going to add to it. I mean, that's another weapon. And that's the one thing they didn't have. The one thing they didn't have was somebody that can take the top off of the defense and can take – and even though I love Landry – I think he's a playmaker. I think he's a pro's pro. But OBJ, he's just a difference maker. So when he touches the football, he can make a 5-yard route into an 80-yard touchdown. And that's something they didn't have. And I think that's going to add to their offense. Now, does he work in well with everybody? I hope he does, because he is a great player, and hopefully they'll find a way to get it all worked out.
Man, you don't you a Raven and a Steeler? You don't want that.
He's a great player. You didn't ask me that question. That wasn't the question, though, right?
I know, I'm just messing with you.
That wasn't the question.
All right, Rod, great stuff as always, brother. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, stay well.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, he's a Super Bowl champion, a Hall of Fame coach, and really one of the most respected people in the NFL and really all of sports. We are pleased to welcome in Tony Dungy. Tony, welcome to the iCouple.
Hey, Chris and Rob, good to be with you. How you guys doing?
Good. Great to have you back. Yes.
First, I got to ask you this. I know you went to Busch Gardens with your family today. How was it?
It was nice. We had a good time. We were looking to do some Martin Luther King Day activities. A lot of things shut down, or a lot of things virtual here in Florida. So we took the family out for a little relaxation and had a great time.
Good, absolutely. Good.
And we are going to get your thoughts, too, on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which we're celebrating today a little later. Chris, go ahead first.
Well, I want to ask you, Tom Brady, big upset in New Orleans, 43 years old. This is incredible. I mean, we've never seen a guy at this age. He looks to me like he's throwing the deep ball well. He missed some guys, but he's throwing it well for the most part. Have you ever seen anything like this? I mean, how do you explain this at his age?
I really haven't, Chris. I've been retired 12 years. We went against Tom in 05, 06, 07 back then, and he was exceptional. But I had the game with NBC. We had the game against Washington, and he's doing some things better now. He's moving around in the pocket better now than he did 13, 14 years ago. It's really crazy.
Wow. But on the flip side, there was a guy who was going to be 42 on Friday who looked like he was 62 in the game on Sunday, Tony. And Drew Brees was awful. I mean, what arm strength, what happened there? Was it all defense? Was it bad decisions? Three interceptions, 38 quarterback rating, just didn't play well in a big game.
We haven't seen Drew Brees look like that. Credit part of that to the Bucs defense, no doubt about it. Michael Thomas, I don't think was 100%. I don't think we've ever seen him have a game where he didn't catch a ball. That was surprising. They didn't have some of their weaponry, Taysom Hill and Murray. But Drew, just he couldn't get that. Let's put it this way. Tampa was not worried about the deep ball. They choked down on everything. They squeezed down. They played 15 yards and under defense. And they couldn't hurt him.
Do you think that's what kind of, for lack of a better word, fixed Tampa's defensive backfield, that they really didn't have to worry about the deep ball? Because we've seen them struggle over the past several weeks, especially even against Washington with Tyler Heinicke.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought that New Orleans would move the ball better. They'd get some explosive plays, but they decided, hey, we're going to pressure, we're going to play man-to-man, and we're going to play – really top the whole defense off at 15 yards. And if they get balls up the field, so be it. But we're going to take away that intermediate throw. And you could see those defensive backs sitting down on routes, and there just wasn't a lot of space.
Our guest is Super Bowl-winning football coach, NBC commentator, Tony Dungy, joining us here on the iCouple Fox Sports Radio. What about the Packers, Aaron Rodgers against the Rams and the number one defense? Going in, Tony, did you think the Rams had the formula? There were some people thought that it was going to be a tough day at the office for the Packers offense against that number one defense. What did you make of that game?
I was one of those people. I thought that the Rams did have the right formula to at least compete with Green Bay. And I thought they had the defensive backs to play tight coverage. I thought they'd get pass rush pressure, not just Aaron Donald, but they had a lot of pass rushers. And I thought, well, if it's bad weather and it's cold, you know, the warm weather team, but it wasn't that bad. It was a nice day. The footing wasn't an issue. The wind and the cold wasn't an issue. And Green Bay just took it to them. They ran the ball at them early. They were patient on offense. They pass protected well. They took the shots. Aaron Rodgers hit the shots when they were there. And to put up that many yards, almost 500 yards, on the number one defense in football, I thought that was a great performance.
We saw Tampa just rally, you know, to beat New Orleans, a team that had smoked them, you know, just a few weeks earlier. What do you tell a team like when you're, you know, because obviously Tampa Bay beat Green Bay pretty handily, 38-10, I think it was, earlier in the season. What do you tell your team, or what's the mindset of a team when you're facing an opponent that beat you handily in the regular season?
I've been on both sides of that, and it's really, I think you have the advantage when you have been down. Especially if you got someone like Tom Brady, somebody who confidence isn't going to be an issue. You know, someday if you got a young team and you get beaten, you get smoked, maybe you're not confident going in. But you say, hey, here's how we're going to adjust. Here's what we're going to change. We're going to do this differently, and they'll have to contend with that. When you won that game pretty handily, it's hard to come in and say, we're going to change this. We're going to do this differently. The players would look at you like, are you crazy? Why don't we do what we did last time? It worked. So you have this kind of where you have the tendency to hold fast and sit still when you won. You have a tendency to change and adjust and tweak things when you've lost. And I think a lot of times that team that lost the game has the advantage coming in the second time.
How about the Ravens and their loss to the Bills? And I know, you know, it's always – we always talk about the quarterbacks right away and Lamar Jackson and, you know, through the big pick six that was returned 101 yards. But, Tony, how bad did the missed field goals early, you know, when they were moving the ball? They had more first downs. They had a lot more things than Buffalo had in that game. But the missed field goals, does that hurt you or, you know what I mean, or put you like you wind up driving the ball and you wind up with nothing, and then all it takes is for them to make one play and they have the lead?
You're exactly right, and that haunts you. And you know that it could be coming when you're on the sidelines. Baltimore did. They had their running game going early. They moved the ball. They got down and didn't take advantage of it. They didn't score a touchdown, and then Justin Tucker, uncharacteristically, misses. So you come away feeling like we've outplayed these guys, but it's even on the scoreboard. I said the same thing last night as I was watching the Bucs and New Orleans. You know, New Orleans gets the punt returns. They can't push it in. They move the ball a little bit, can't push it in, and it's 6-0 instead of 14-0. And
right.
You say, boy, that could come back to haunt them.
Yep.
We're joined by Hall of Fame coach Tony Dungy here on the iCouple. Tony, let's look at the coaching carousel. And amazingly, it looks like there's a good chance that African-American coaches – will be shut out, specifically Eric Bieniemy. What do you make of the 6 openings? You know, the league kind of changed rules and really was trying to put some rules in place to hire African-Americans. Obviously, there's a lot of racial unrest in the country, and even the players, you know, have done a lot of things to, you know, challenge the social, to promote social justice. What do you make of now you only got 2 African-American head coaches, looking like it'll be 2 out of 32 going into next season?
It's a little bit disappointing, and I really felt that the league had made strides. I was on this committee that met with the diversity group at the Combine in Indianapolis, and they really did. The NFL was pointing to this and working at it, and you saw a lot of different interviews and different things happening. You think, hey, we're making progress. And then it just doesn't quite happen. So it's been disappointing to me that there's some really good minority coaches out there who haven't gotten a look. But I'll tell you what, I'm encouraged by one thing. I think this could be a watershed moment because of what Deshaun Watson is doing in Houston or has done. And I've said for a long time that NFL players have not used their power and their platform well enough. And you guys have seen it happen in basketball. Where you know, the star player speaks up and things happen. And I see this as a moment. This could play out in Houston, even if they don't hire a minority coach. If Deshaun Watson's voice gets heard, it's going to tell a lot of other players, you know what, we have a little more clout than we think we have. And this could be a good moment.
Tony, the only problem, I hear you, it sounds good, but guys won't stand up for health care and health benefits. You know what I mean?
Well, you're like, right. They have to do it. But they could realize this could show them how much clout they really do have.
I agree with you that they do have clout. You know, Tony, I do. But I don't. The only problem I have with this is, should Deshaun Watson be interested in who's going to be the coach and have some say? Absolutely. But does he really, like, he's bothered that he wasn't in on the GM search? I just wonder, like, where's the line?
I don't know if it's that. I don't know if it's that per se. And I hope it's not that. I don't have to be in on the search.
Right.
But let me let you know, if Patrick Mahomes tells me, boy, Eric Bieniemy is sensational, and I hope he gets to you guys because he'd be huge for you, and you go in and tell the owners, hey, you know what? I've heard some really good stuff about Eric Bieniemy, and then he isn't even interviewed. Now I should be upset.
Well, Tony, and about Eric Bieniemy's interviews, this would be the second straight year he's been passed over, and you saw the rumors out there just like we did that he doesn't interview well. Rob and I aren't in the interviews. We don't know, but what do you – is that just an excuse? I saw you said that people would say that about you and other black coaches going way back.
It's an easy excuse because nobody's in there with you, so.
You know, I feel one. This is really a response. I don't want to get labeled a racist. And really the only answer, when I hire person A over person B, the only answer is I like person A better. I can't quantify it. I can't really say, for sure why. So I have to just say, you know what? Hey, I like Tony Dungy better than I like Chris Broussard. But if I do that with a black coach, it kind of comes off sounding racist.
Right.
So I don't want to say that. So I have to put some, well, it's his fault because here's why I didn't hire Eric Bieniemy. And it's wrong. It just really is wrong. That was said about me a lot when I was younger. I've heard that, and I've heard it about, and I said this in the article, I've heard it about some other African-Americans. You never hear a white coach, and there's some very good young white coaches.
Right.
When they don't get the job, we never hear, oh, well, he didn't interview well.
Right.
You know, you never hear
right.
that.
No,
but
no,
with,
you're
with
right.
Eric Bieniemy, he didn't interview well. Like, there's got to be a reason for it. And the only reason is you like the other guy better. That's the only reason.
Because that hurts him. That tag
yes.
you put on him hurts him going forward.
Right. Instead of just saying, you know what? Hey, he came in. We talked to him and five other people, and I like someone else better. Then it becomes, well, he did this wrong, or he wasn't this, or he wasn't that. I'll tell you a funny story. The interview, I'd had that five or six times, doesn't interview well, isn't demonstrative enough. The job I got with Tampa Bay, I had called my wife and said, I'm not getting this job. The interview was so bad. My glasses broke when I was on my way in to see Rich McKay. So I had two choices. I said, I can go in there with no glasses, and he might ask me to diagram something I can't see him, or I can go in there with one little holder and the other side, and my glasses were tipped on the side. I looked like a clown. And halfway through, I said, Rich, I'm really sorry, but I can't see, and I broke my glasses. He broke out laughing and said, hey, I understand. Don't worry about it. Take your glasses off. I'm not going to ask you to diagram anything. And it was the worst interview you could ever have. That's the job I got. Don't
tell me about
bad.
Well, Tony, another guy, Rob and I have mentioned that his name was not even mentioned in this go round. Jim Caldwell, who
got screwed in Detroit. We know that, but yeah, go ahead. He should be,
and you know him well, obviously.
Yeah,
I'm shocked that I don't understand why his name isn't out there.
He did get interviewed in Houston, and I think he's still in on that job, and he would be a great guy to get that job. He would do well. As a matter of fact, I know for a fact that Peyton Manning has told the people in Houston how good Jim Caldwell is. Peyton knows Deshaun Watson from the Manning Passing Academy. I know for a fact that he told them how good Jim Caldwell would be for Deshaun. And he's sensational. You know, he's been to a Super Bowl. He's coached Peyton Manning to a Super Bowl. He did wonders for Joe Flacco's career. Coached Joe Flacco to his Super Bowl win.
I remember
Coach
that
Matthew,
they hired him in the middle of the season. You
in
remember
the middle of
they
the
were
season,
struggling.
He started calling the plays. They fired their offensive coordinator. Jim Caldwell took over. Joe Flacco had one of the best postseasons anybody's ever had. They went to the Super Bowl. Jim got the Detroit job. Matthew Stafford had three or four great years under him. They went to the playoffs for the only time Detroit's been in the playoffs in years. And Mrs. Ford, when she fired him, said, our locker room's better, our building's better, our city's better. We've won more than we've ever won around here, but I'm going in another direction.
Right. What?
You know, so,
It was like after that she went outside to a car and flattened the tires. We got a brand new Ford out here.
But if I'm Houston and I've got a great offensive weapon and a great quarterback, who could I get that could kind of fix my locker room and work with the quarterback? If I'm Philadelphia and the whole thing seems to be Carson Wentz, how do we get him back on track? Who's better qualified to put a quarterback back together than Jim Caldwell? Wouldn't you want to interview him, at least talk to him?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll say this before we got to go to break, Tony. Four of the eight coordinators in this final four are African-American.
And doing a spectacular job. You know, we heard the first half of the year about Tom Brady and the Bucs and Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians. Oh, he's not fitting in. They're not doing what he does well. Well, now, you know, all this criticism of Byron Leftwich early. Well, now Brady's the hottest thing going. Okay. And he's had the hottest December he's ever had, won two playoff games. Now, can we at least give Byron Leftwich some credit?
Right.
Maybe he's got something to do with this.
Right.
Maybe.
Last thing, Tony, if you want to say, you know, just a quick word about Dr. King and
what he
obviously
means to
all
you.
He's done. Yeah. What he means to you and done for our country.
I'll tell you, I was 12 years old when Dr. King was killed. And I remember asking my dad, what's going on? Why did this happen? How could somebody who seems like such a good man, how could he get killed? Why? And that kind of piqued my interest. And the more I started studying him, and his whole idea was, I'm not going to sit here and just have things nice for myself. I'm going to do what's best for my city, my country, my people, and I don't care what happens to me. It's not about me. It's about making our country better. And that to me is so great, and it's what we should be all about.
Wow. That's great. That's powerful. Thank you, Tony. Great
no
stuff
doubt.
All the way around.
Appreciate it.
We appreciate it. And we'll be watching you next weekend on these
that's
games.
Right. And Tony, will NBC you later, okay?
All righty. Thanks, guys. Always good to be on with you.
All right, Rob. All right, Tony. Thank you.